Swiss rock band Crocus is still going strong after 25 years. Crocus might seem a flowery name for a rock band, but spelled with two K's instead of two C's, it has a tough edge, as Crocus founder and bass player Chris Von Rohr explains.
We were looking for an original band name, and we're walking here through the mountains and saw this little flower, what comes through the hard ice after winter. And we thought, oh, wow, a crocus flower. And it has the word rock in it, rock. You know, it sounded just as a fun, it just as a sound, it was a great name. And it was an original name. I wanted a name which nobody else basically has.
Swiss Info journalist Susan Vogel-Masika recently caught up with Chris Von Rohr at his home in Solothurn, the town where Crocus first sprung up.
Most of us band members who played in different bands before were coming basically out of the blues. You know, there is a lot of British and American blues in the 60s which was played here. And a lot of bands we love, like Beatles, Stones, different bands were basically blues players, their version of the blues, you know. And we adapted that as well, you know. Till today, we looked to stay in the 3-4 chords, which are as well in the blues, and build around that our own version, you know. So we never wanted to go in the classical direction. We leave that to others. We stay with the blues. That's where we are at home, you know. One song which really changed our life a little bit was definitely the song Bedside Radio from Crocus, you know, which was charting in England and was a song which is in a kind of a blues boogie manner, but a little bit more. It has this special melody with "Do you hear your bedside radio?" I mean, this is something you don't do every day, you know. This song is from the Crocus Scenery, one of the big songs, as well as Screaming in the Night, which is a ballad more, which was a lot played in MTV in America. A very nice, hypnotic, dark ballad, which we still play, and people still love it.
In the 1980s, Crocus managed to gain huge popularity on the hard rock and heavy metal scene, playing at concerts with bands like AC/DC, Def Leppard, and Van Halen. But going international brought a new set of challenges for the young Swiss band.
And we were very naive and were falling into the tricks, like many others, like the Stones with Alan Klein, like there are many, many, many examples of rock bands who came into this American type of management style, you know, where you lose completely control, the money ends up never on your bank account, and you tour and you tour and you play and you play, and suddenly you say, where is my money, you know? And the other guy has just bought every day a new horse, a new boat, a new whatever, you know. So that was the problem, you know. We were kind of getting burnt out, and the money was flowing in the wrong direction.
On top of that, the band members started getting on each other's nerves.
And then there were some ego problems as well, because if you put five men together in a cage, a tour bus, for months, and this every year, I mean, nobody gets out there alive. I mean, that's for sure, you know. And however you healthy you are or not, you know, I mean, this is a conflict potential. You need a break from time to time.
Ultimately, Chris ended up leaving the band. He went on to release a couple of solo albums, and he wrote a memoir-style book. He also became the producer of another Swiss rock band, Gotthard.
What was it like helping another band to become so successful? I mean, how did you make this transition working so hard for what was basically somebody else's band?
Yeah, well, this is a really crazy story, because when I came down the first time to the Ticino, Tessin, I saw a band which I said, no, please, and he goes, no, this is impossible. I cannot make out of shit gold, sorry. So this is not. And the manager at this time, he said, come on, Chris, I give you my red Corvette if you just go rehearsing for a month with this band. I said, are you serious? And then I started with this band, and the only thing which gave me a little bit of hope was the voice of Steve Lee. That's the only thing. The rest was like a jazz fusion, strange type of music. Nobody wanted to listen and absolutely not to buy, you know. So it was a big, big piece of work till I had the band at this stage where we talk about Gotthard quality and Gotthard songs and this and that, you know. It was a long way. It was 10 years of my life, you know. But it got better and better and better. The guys were listening. We could really get into that stuff. And it was for me like, it was great, because it was from zero. That's always interesting, to take a band from zero to something, you know. To produce an already successful band is not very difficult, but to produce somebody who nobody wants, you know, that's the challenge, you know. And this was like, it was like a dream. I wouldn't believe it, how it worked, you know.
The collaboration with Gotthard turned out to be a big success, particularly within Switzerland.
There are two songs, or even three songs with Gotthard, which I'm very proud of to be involved, which is basically Heaven, which is the biggest song, the only song I got a gold and a platinum single for, just one song, you know.
Show me the way to your heart. I am searching, but I'm drifting apart. Everything's gone.
This was basically made on this grand piano here with Steve Lee. You know, we were just sitting there, and within a half an hour, we basically had this song, you know. Not every word, you know, but the melody just came from I don't know where, you know. This is, it's like my, how should I say, my life insurance somehow, you know, this song. It's in every school book. It's a very, very big song, you know. Then another song which called Let It Rain, which I wrote for the woman of the mother of my child, which is a very bittersweet ballad. So Lady Jane, a very nice song.
Lady Jane, will we ever meet again? The times we had are gone up day by day. All the pain.
I like ballads, basically, as you hear. To play more rock, but to listen and more ballads, you know. And the same from One Life on Soul, which we re-recorded with the opera diva Montserrat Caballé, who worked as well with Freddie Mercury. These songs, I can look back, because you don't like everything you do when you look back. Most of it you say, yeah, yeah, fillers, fillers, fillers. But we had some killers, you know. As well in Crocus with the song Long Stick Goes Boom.
We're gonna hit
Bedside Radio, this was two heavy rockers, great rock songs. Till today, they really work out very good live, you know. But what really stays is probably the ballads. You know, the ballads have something which go more into the heart, not only to the body, but into the heart as well. And leave this bittersweet feeling of living and dying and loving. And it's great. I love it. I love singers like Steven Tyler, like Bon Scott, or Rod Stewart, you know, Tom Waits, Bob Dylan, the guys with the broken voices, you know, that's the dirt in it, you know, that's what I like. A strong song can move careers, it can touch, it can even change the world, if you take Imagine from John Lennon, for example. It's nothing for a band, and I say to every young band, whatever you play, how good you are, how fast you are, don't forget the songs, because one song can change the whole career of a band. I still believe that, absolutely. Nothing is more powerful than a strong song.
Indeed. He says it's the songs that can keep Gotthard alive after the death of singer Steve Lee, who was killed in a motorcycle accident near Las Vegas in 2010.
What about now that Steve Lee has died? Do you think that the band can go on?
Yeah, I think... Because of the songs, because of all the good songs. You know, people, when they come to a concert, they want to hear songs. They don't want to hear guitar solos. They want to hear songs, mostly. And I believe Gotthard had such a great back catalogue that when you bring in a charismatic new voice and a new singer, there is a chance. Of course, there's always a lot of people saying it's not like it used to be. That's what we heard with AC/DC. That's what we heard with other bands. But what choice do you have as a band? You have to go on when you're a musician, you know. And I think there is a good chance that it goes on.
Because of differences in opinion regarding the band's musical direction, Chris and Gotthard parted ways back in 2002.
I mean, if we do songwriting, we start like with a chord like this and try to find a melody to that, you know.
After that, Chris worked as a producer for other bands, and he wrote another book, as well as a variety of magazine articles. He has also hosted radio and TV shows, and served as a judge on two popular televised talent shows. Meanwhile, Crocus was continuing to perform and record without him. Over the years, there were several lineups, some of them successful, and others not so.
And then what was it like to watch the band go on without you?
Well, this is what I call the Steve Jobs effect, you know. I mean, I couldn't basically believe it. I said, well, how is this possible, you know? I was not that much a businessman to secure me up all the way. But that was very hard. It's like losing your own baby. But I knew, you know, that I knew that without me, it's going to get downhill. You know, I knew that, you know, so, but I was not so happy to see it then when it happens. You know, it was more like a disappointment, and it was a very tough lesson basically to learn. But it made me stronger. It gave me the opportunity to stand on my own feet without the band and become a producer, you know, and make there again successful albums, you know. Like we say in football, you know, you're only a man or a good coach or trainer when you got fired once in your life, you know. And that was good for me. In the end, now if I look back now, at this time it was a drama, but now it was a blessing, kind of, you know.
In late 2007, Swiss Television invited the Old Brigade, including Chris, to play a 3-song medley on the top Swiss hits of all time. It was their first joint performance in more than 20 years, and such a success that they decided to do a big reunion concert the following year.
It's worked because it's well-dosed, you know, and I think the things who got us together were stronger than the things who separated us, you know, and the things who gets us together is the music, you know, the love for this kind of music, because it sounds only when we play it this way, you know, with Mark on the voice, with Fernando on the guitar, with me on bass, and with the ideas who come together with Koki on guitar and Freddie, you know, it's like, it's the magic, you know, and we didn't think it's going to work, you know. And then we had this TV show. Everybody was really amazed. Then we said, okay, let's see if that live works. Then we had this big gig in Bern, which worked. And then as a third stage, we said, let's see if we can put out some new songs, because for me, a band is only a band if you put out new songs, a band, otherwise it's not alive, you know. And yeah, this was this is cool to do it, so it came very naturally.
So you're gonna keep with it?
Yeah, I mean, we're gonna see. You never you only want to make God laugh, tell him your plans, you know. So I think we're gonna do one more great album, maybe a goodbye tour. I wouldn't do that for 20 more years, but yeah, but at the moment it's cooking, so why stopping it?